Our passage tonight in Joshua chapter 5 is a wonderful story of God's grace. It's a story of God's grace, of his faithfulness and of his kindness to his covenant people. It's really the story of the Lord showing continuing grace. Remarkably, he continues to show grace towards his people, despite a very checkered past. And the scripture tells us that the Lord rolls away the sins of his people. He rolls away the stain of our shameful and sinful pasts. And he gives us a new beginning that's full of hope and joy. So this is a wonderful passage that I hope will encourage you this evening. And I hope what you're seeing as we're going through this book is that Joshua is not just a history of the conquest of the promised land. It's not really the history of all the battles and the victories. It's much more than that. It's about the Lord's faithfulness to his people and how the Lord always keeps his promises. It's the record of God keeping his promises to Abraham and giving his people this land just as he'd promised centuries before. And it's a book that tells us a lot about the worship of God, as we'll see the people of God responding to him and renewing their covenant with him, learning how to worship him. So it has so much to share with us today. Because, of course, the good news is the Lord hasn't changed. The same Lord you see on every page of this wonderful book of Joshua is your Lord. He's the same faithful God. He's the same promise-keeping covenant God. And he is your God. And so lay hold of what the scripture tells us about him and how he deals with us as his people. So chapter 5 picks up from where we were last time, that this is the immediate aftermath of the crossing of the Jordan. I mean, what a moment. At last, Israel sets foot on Canaan. Centuries before, when Abraham had wandered the land, this had been promised. And now, after they'd been suffering in the slavery of Egypt, the wandering in the wilderness, here they are, feet in the dirt, on the ground of Canaan. They're breathing in its fresh air. They're looking out over its beautiful vistas. This is an incredible moment. And before we even just think about anything else, just take hold of what a moment that is. God has kept his promises. He has taken a group of slaves suffering under the boot of the world's superpower. He's brought them through an impassable desert. And now he's brought them, just as he promised, into this land that will flow with milk and honey. What an incredible thing God has done, and how faithful he is. But as we've already seen, the book of Joshua is going to surprise us. If you look at the first few verses of chapter 5, we're told that the Canaanites and the Amorites who were living in the land are all terrified. They're all defeated already. They've lost heart when they hear about the miracle of the Jordan. So again, we now expect we're going to hear about Israel marching forward, taking Jericho, another great miracle and victory. But the book doesn't go there. There's something more important that the Lord is going to have to do first. Something about his relationship with his people that isn't right. Something that's spiritual that has to be put right. His people must be setting off on the right foot with him before they can look outward at anything else. And this too is an important lesson for us. There is nothing more important than your relationship every day with the Lord and keeping a short account with him, walking with him each day. Get that right, Christian. Everything else will be right. And it must come first. Before we can face any enemy, any challenge, anything that comes from the outside, If there's something not right between you and the Lord, that must be put right. If there's some duty you're neglecting, some sin you must repent of, we cannot go forward unless we know we're where we should be with the Lord in our relationship with Him. And that's what we're told in this story. Now, what's going to happen here is the Lord is going to renew and reaffirm His covenant with Israel through the sign of circumcision. And that God was rolling away what He calls the reproach or the shame, the stain of Egypt. Essentially, the Lord is going to say, let's wipe away the past. And now there's a fresh start as they can go forward into the land. So what was the problem? Well, if you look at verses 4 to 7, the Lord tells us that there's an unresolved issue that's got to be dealt with. As you'll know, the previous generation, all the previous fighting age men, when they'd come to the promised land, remember that Moses had sent out 12 spies to eye out the land. This is 40 years before this time. And apart from Joshua and Caleb, who alone were faithful, we have Joshua and Caleb in our church. We pray they'll be mighty men of God. But they alone were faithful. All the others, they lost heart. They said, oh, no, we can't do it. God's brought us here to die. There's giants, there's fortresses, there's armies. It's hopeless. God has betrayed us. And they turn back. And you'll note it was an astonishing lack of faith, but it was also a slur on God and His goodness. That they doubted Him and doubted His power and His goodness. So, as the sad consequence, the Lord will not let that generation enter the promised land. He will not have that dishonor. So they wander for the 40 years until that generation dies away. So it is now their children who've grown up who are now crossing over. This generation who've only known life in tents, wandering in the desert. But this generation, and can we imagine how this must have hung over them? They must have felt the weight of this terrible thing that had happened with their parents and the previous generation. This was like a stain on the nation's history. This is like an open wound between the people and God. They'd had to see even their own parents pass away because of their awful sins. And it's only human, isn't it? Despite everything else they'd seen God do, some of them must have wondered, must have feared. Is the Lord going to hold that sin against us? It was so bad what happened. Is the Lord still with us? Is He going to be with us as we go into the promised land? Are we going to end up being like our parents? So there's this deep wound, this fissure, this deep spiritual issue between God and the people. And what happens here is all about the Lord healing this wound and the Lord helping this new generation and showing them that He is with them. So what does He do to help them? Well, He shows them that His covenant with them still stands. His promises haven't changed. And His grace still continues with them. And the way that He shows that to the people is in an act of covenant renewal. And He commands that they too, once again, they should receive the sign of His covenant. And so verse 2, the Lord commands Joshua to circumcise all the men. Again, there's a suggestion here, doesn't it, that part of the sin and failure of the previous generation is that they had not circumcised their sons. That they were such a faithless and stubborn generation, they had not passed on that sign of God's covenant blessing. Perhaps too, maybe they realized they were in such a state of disgrace. Maybe they thought it wasn't right to pass it on. But the sign of God's covenant with His people, the Lord says, receive that sign. The covenant still stands. God is with them. He's not abandoned them. He's not given up. His plans have not failed. So we do need to refresh our memories briefly about the importance of the sign of circumcision, the sign that's given to Abraham as the father of God's people. And you don't need to turn there, but the crucial moment in the scriptures is in Genesis 17. This is when Abraham was 99 years old, still a wanderer in the promised land, and still without an heir. No heir from him and Sarah, no son from his body. And the Lord comes to him at this point and reaffirms his promise. And the Lord speaks to him and says, Abraham, you will be the father of many nations. Your seed, he will bless the whole world. And you will have descendants who will inherit this land. And the Lord promises this. And to help Abraham's faith, he gives him a sign to show that this covenant is forever. Now, of course, we know that this is all the gospel, isn't it? That's being unfolded, and the seed of Abraham is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses the whole world and brings us salvation. And the nation of Israel, here they are, come to receive the land. So the Lord gives him this sign of circumcision. All his male heirs must be circumcised. And the sign itself has meaning. It means the promised seed is not going to come by human power, by this cutting off of the flesh. It's saying that all the promise of God, it will not come through the power of flesh, but by the power of God, by his Spirit. It represents a cutting off of that natural line of generation that comes from Adam, that is all a failure, all under sin. The old human race of sin and death, it's not going to come through that. There's going to be a new line, a line of the seed that God will raise up supernaturally. And so this sign is to be handed on down, a sign of God's grace, a sign of the promise he will save. And contrary to all human failure, God will bring this about. So what a blessing for Israel to receive this sign. To receive this sign of God's promises. So brothers and sisters, do you understand now the enormity of this gesture? That when Israel enters the land, what a powerful message the Lord was giving them as a people. When he says, you must have the sign again. He's reaffirming, it continues. The covenant continues. The promises will be fulfilled. And if their parents were another terrible example of the failures of human flesh, but his saving purposes and plan will continue. It will not fail. So as it says in verse 9, on that day, the Lord rolled away. He took away the stain, the reproach of Egypt. Now that is referring to their father's sin, to that failure. But what a wonderful, wonderful expression, to roll it away. Like the Lord's wiping away the past. He's sweeping it off the table, out of sight. And his grace continues. So it would have been a tremendous blessing to the people of Israel at this point. So though first it might seem a story that's hard to relate to, this is actually one of the most thrilling, encouraging stories in the Old Testament. God continues to be gracious to his people, even when there's been terrible sin and failure. His saving promises continue. So trying to find some kind of way of picturing that in terms of, you know, modern day life is difficult. But the only way I could think of the situation is it was something like this. Imagine if there was a husband and wife who just have a child, but then separate. And the wife, she's unfaithful. She abandons the husband and she takes the child away with her. And they don't really have much contact with the father. The child grows up. But in time, the mother dies. And the child will go to live with the father. And the child's worried. Will my dad have me? All these things that my mother did. You know, it damaged my relationship with him. Will he have me? Will he love me? But they find the father welcomes them with open arms. And says, I've always loved you. Welcome home. It's maybe a very imperfect analogy, But I hope you get something of the sense of what this ritual would have said to the children of Israel. I've always loved you. Welcome back. I'm with you. And this event's so significant, Israel names the place Gilgal, a rolling away. Again, it makes me think of those wonderful words in Pilgrim's Progress. We're going through it in the older kids' Sunday school class. And you know the moment when Pilgrim comes to the cross and it says his huge burden of sin fell off, rolled away, down into a sepulchre, never to be seen again. This is who God is and what he does for his people. He takes that huge burden of sin, all the things we might regret from the past, even the damage of what other people's sin might have done, but he just rolls it all away, off down the hill and off the cliff, never to be seen again, and gives us a wonderful new beginning. So as I say, brothers and sisters, the wonderful point for us tonight is the Lord hasn't changed. He's the same gracious God. The same Son, the seed, Jesus Christ. And perhaps, especially sins that we've committed as Christians, trouble us the most. And we wonder, does his grace continue, even though I've sinned often against many privileges? Well, let me suggest to you, I think this story shows you his grace continues. His promise continues. And we can come again and again to Jesus Christ, to God's covenant of grace. And there is a full provision of grace and forgiveness for us. His covenant promises don't change. Even things that might have left a mark on us, the Lord gives us a fresh start. And he rolls them away. And the blessing is, we share tonight in our covenant renewal service. This blessing of the Lord's Supper tonight is for us the equivalent. This is the sign God has given us in the bread and the wine that he's saying to you tonight, my covenant continues, made through the blood and body of Christ. My grace to you continues. And so we're to come and receive the sign with faith. Receive what God is saying to us. The good news of his forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, I'm trying to say, let the past fall off your shoulders and roll away. Believe in the gospel. Believe in God's grace. Let those past sins go. And as a final thought, you'll see the blessings continued for Israel. Verses 10 to 12 tell us that at that time they celebrated their first Passover in the land. And then the manna stopped. So again, another sign, they're home, it's permanent, the wandering days are over. And God provides for them an abundance, all the food they could need from the land. Again, I suppose it's a little foretaste of the harvests, the years, the provision that's to come. And they begin by feasting and celebrating what God has given them. And then also at that time, the Lord visits them. This is verses 13 to 15. And the presence of the Lord comes to them in a way that they've not known for a generation. And he's there to fight for the Lord's battles. But there's so much there, I hope we'll come to that passage another time. But brothers and sisters, remember Gilgal. Believe in the continuing grace of God, his unchanging covenant. And indeed, even tonight, receive the sign of his continuing grace to you.